love. Do you know that God loves you? That He has a special plan for your life? Through His Word and by His Spirit, this program seeks to expand and deepen your understanding of God's amazing love for you. Now, here's your friend and God's handmaiden, Mary Winchell.
Do you give up easily? Do you get discouraged easily? Do you want to throw up your hands, throw in the towel? Do you get discouraged? Well, we all get discouraged. But do you give up? God's called us to be victorious, conquerors, soldiers, overcomers, and all what He promises to those who overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Do you want to be a pillar in the temple of our God? Oh, He has such wonderful things for us if we'll but persevere. Stick at it. Don't give up. Sometimes the situations in life, the circumstances become almost overpowering. And we feel like we're locked in. And there's no way to go. We can either be discouraged, give up, do something to escape, whether it's watching TV, drinking, drugs, sex, shop, whatever our escape mechanism is. Or we can look to Jesus, the deliverer. He has a way. Jesus is the way. He is the door. He is life and He's truth. So if tonight, if you feel there's no place to go, you feel there's no hope, I want you to look to the author and finisher of our faith, Jesus. He's the anchor of our soul. He's there waiting for you. His arms are open wide and He says, come to me, come to me. Practicing the presence of God, realizing in all truth that we are not alone. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus went to heaven. He's seated at the right hand of the Father so the Holy Spirit could come and be our best friend, teach us and guide us into all truth. When Jesus was lonely and He knew what was coming, His death, what did He do? He went to Gethsemane. He went to talk to Father God. The servant king set such an example for us. So, in our own trial, when we think that no one cares, no one understands, no one's really there, can't talk to anyone, we can always go to Father through Jesus by the power of the Spirit of God. He always has time. Reading from John the 14th chapter, Jesus speaking to the disciples. Because a loveless world, said Jesus, is a sightless world. If anyone loves me, he will carefully keep my word, and my Father will love him. We'll move right into the neighborhood. Not loving means not keeping my words. The message you are hearing isn't mine. It's the message of the Father who sent me. I'm telling you these things while I'm still with you. The friend, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send at my request, will make everything plain to you. He will remind you of all the things I've told you. I'm leaving you well and whole. That's my parting gift to you, peace. I don't leave you the way you're used to being left, feeling abandoned. So don't be upset, don't be distraught. You've heard me tell you I'm going away and I'm coming back. If you loved me, you would be glad that I'm on my way to the Father, because the Father is the goal and the purpose of my life. I've told you this ahead of time before it happens so that when it does happen, the confirmation will deepen your belief in me. I'll not be talking with you much more like this because the chief of the godless world is about to attack. But so the world might know how thoroughly I love the Father, I am carrying out my Father's instructions right down to the last detail. Jesus, obedient to the Father. And most of our pain comes from disobedience. The Word tells us that Jesus learned obedience by the things that he suffered. And yet we know that he never sinned. Can two walk together if they don't agree? To come to agreement with what Father says. To walk with him. Jesus never did anything he didn't see the Father do. Oh, Father, touch our eyes by the power of your Spirit that we might see. We say we can see, but we don't see. We say we can hear, but we really don't hear, or else we choose not to hear. Not so different than when we were children. I didn't hear you call me. I didn't hear you tell me not to do that. Excuses. Oh, we're so good at excuses. We can rationalize why we do what we do. We can intellectualize. We can give at least 5 good reasons to do what we want to do. And yet, when we're walking contrary to the Word of God, pain follows. The Word tells us that the wages of sin are death. Separation from God, missing the mark, not feeling his peace. Oh, I want to walk after Jesus. Oh, I want to be led by the Spirit of God. Those who are led by the Spirit of God are the sons of God. And Father has called us to be his sons, his priests, his anointed ones, his ambassadors, giving us the gift of reconciliation to the world, reconciling the lost world to him. What a call, what an honor. And sometimes those little things in life that we get caught up into to get us off track. We need to get back on track. Key word of the 90s, focused. We need to be focused on our goal. Not just thinking, oh, I'm saved, I'm going to go to heaven. What happens between point A and point B? I know we weren't saved. Jesus didn't die that we might just get into heaven, but that we might be his sons, the sons of God, doing the works of God in this world. Revival. We hear that word, we pray for revival, but revival starts in me. Oh God, plow up the fallow ground. Rain upon me. Plant that new seed within me. Oh, that we might bring in a fruitful harvest, that we might be fruitful ourselves. Such an exciting time we're living in. No time for apathy, no time for passivity, no time for wandering off and feeling sorry for ourselves. When we're little, you see the little ones and they drag their blanket and they get their bottle and they curl in their beds and sometimes by themselves, they just want to be alone. No time for that. This is a time for the army of God to advance. To take our places, pick up our responsibilities, to be disciplined, to hear what Father is saying, our best friend. He speaks to us by his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the commander of the heavenly armies, the angel armies, wants to speak to us, transforming us into his messengers, flames of fire, to go into the world and disciple all nations. Oh, that we might not fall short of the call of God upon our lives, looking to others to pick it up, not seeing, not hearing, that you and I have been called, chosen. Jesus paid that debt that he did not owe, that you and I might have eternal life. And not only that, but to be conformed into the image of his own dear son. A man after God's own heart. A woman after God's own heart.
Fallen so far, you
a man after God's own heart. Do you feel like a failure? When we read the Word of God, we see David. He failed, and yet his heart was towards God. Peter denied Jesus 3 times, and yet the Lord said, "Behold, I make you a rock." God is glorified in the weak things of the world to confound the wise. Mary Magdalene. How many demons? She was there at the cross. How many personalities in the Word of God have failed to show man's weakness, and yet we see God's redemption. We see His love. We see His restoration. When we yield to the Spirit of God, when we get back up and say, "Yes, Lord, I'm going to follow You." Not looking at our failures, but looking at His success. If I concentrate on my failures, I will not succeed. It's like looking at your shoes and running. Surely you'll fall. Surely you'll trip. Looking at the law, we know what we should do, but we can't do it. Who's going to deliver me from the circle of sin and death? Why do I do the things I don't want to do? Oh God, I'm tired of making wrong decisions. Are you tired of making wrong decisions? Crying out to Jesus, "Lord, I want to stop the insanity. I don't even know why I do what I do. I don't know the root cause of it." Deliver me. Set me free. I want to forgive everyone. I want to forgive myself for being such a failure. Forgive me, God, for all the inner vows and judgments that I have made on others. Consciously, subconsciously. Any judgments on my parents. I find myself doing the same things they do, saying the same words. And yet I said I'd never say them or do these things. And I know how weak I am. I need You. I want to be transformed. I will. My will to be Thy will. Thy will be done in my life. Bind my will to Your will, O God. And set me free. Truly desiring to change. Truly desiring for God to do a new work in our lives. Tired of even hearing our own voice saying the same things in the same arguments, same conversations with our loved ones. With our boss, with our children. Going around in circles, time passes and we don't change. I must desire to change. Reading from Romans 7. Yes, Paul had the same problem. Yes, I'm full of myself after all. I've spent a long time in sin's prison. What I don't understand about myself is that I decide one way, but then I act another, doing things I absolutely despise. So I can't be trusted to figure out what is best for myself and then do it. It becomes obvious that God's command is necessary. But I need something more, for I know the law, but still can't keep it. And if the power of sin within me keeps sabotaging my best intentions, I obviously need help. I realize I don't have what it takes. I can will it, but I can't do it. I decide to be good, but I don't really do it. I decide not to be bad, but then I do it anyway. My decisions, such as they are, don't result in actions. Something has gone wrong deep within me and gets the better of me every time. Does this happen to you? You've read the books, listened to the tapes, all kinds of self-help, but cannot change. Reading on. It happens so regularly that it's predictable. The moment I decide to be good, sin is there to trip me up. I truly delight in God's command, but it's pretty obvious that not all of me joins in what delights. Part of me, covertly, rebel, and just when I least expect it, they take charge. I've tried everything and nothing helps. I'm at the end of my rope. Is there no one who can do anything for me? Isn't that the real question? The answer, thank God, is that Jesus Christ can and does. He acted to set things right in this life of contradictions, where I want to serve God with all my heart and mind, but I am pulled by the influence of sin to do something totally different. Reading on to 8. With the arrival of Jesus the Messiah, that faithful dilemma is resolved. Those who enter into Christ being for us no longer have to live under a continuous low-lying black cloud. A new power is in operation. The spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing us from a fated lifetime of brutal tyranny at the hands of sin and death. Do we truly believe that God, by the power of His Spirit through His Son Jesus, can transform our lives? The desire has to come from within me. I have to desire to be changed. My desire is practicing the presence of God, seeking His face, walking with my friend. Walking with Jesus, Free from the Law of Sin and Death, reading from Romans 8. God went for the jugular when he sent his own son. He didn't deal with the problem as something remote or unimportant. In his son Jesus, he personally took on the human condition, entered the disordered mess of struggling humanity in order to set it right once and for all. The law code, weakened as it always was by fractured human nature, could never have done that. The law always ended up being used as a band-aid on sin instead of a deep healing of it. And now what the law code asked for, but we couldn't deliver, is accomplished as we, instead of redoubling our own efforts, simply embrace what the Spirit is doing in us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up obsessed with measuring their own moral muscle, but never get around to exercising it in real life. Those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Obsession with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God, ends up thinking more about self than God. That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone, of course, who has never welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, wouldn't know what we're talking about. But for you who have welcomed him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. The changing, transforming power of the Holy Spirit within us. Not focusing on our problems, not focusing on our shortcomings, but focusing on Jesus, the one who by his Spirit is changing us from glory to glory. God loves you with an amazing love. Mary Winchell here.
We hope you've enjoyed Mary's message. To listen to more messages of God's amazing love for all mankind, visit her website at amazinglovministries.org.